Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful, as you always know, that I am to have you with me for this 25 minutes here on Aspire. Thank you for joining us. This broadcast is for July 26, 2020, and we're going to be looking at the statement, wherever you go, there you are. And the reason we are doing this one is because I got an email about it, then another and another, kind of dealing with the same subject on a podcast that I did a couple of years ago, but evidently people are digging them up and listening to them, and I'm very grateful for that. If you are a subscriber to my commentaries, you get podcasts, video casts, and of course the commentary, and I'm grateful that there are those of you who see the value of it. These commentaries are not for the average Joe. I just need to say that to you. They're for those who are really looking at themselves, maybe looking at their life a little differently, and are wondering what an authentic spiritual practice is all about and what we're doing in it. So there you are. It's all there for you. If you want, go to the website at aspire.org and you will see commentaries. You can click on that and take a look at a commentary. I think there's one there for you to look at. So wherever you go, there you are. Here's what we're going to be looking at. The first question comes from Carol. She lives in Colorado, she says, and she loves Colorado. Good for you. I'm glad you're happy there. Why is this statement, wherever you go, there you are, so difficult for me to understand? It seems, she said, to relieve us of our individuality and our choice making, building our own future. Carol, I know everybody likes to think that they have choices in this world. I know everybody likes to think that. They like to think that, you know, they're master of their ship and everything, but we're not. And none of that is true. We set up situations for ourselves, for sure. But those are predestined by things that we have encountered within ourselves that we ignore. Our genetics, our DNA, our chemistry, our biology, the level of our mental acuity, all of that is involved. And if you start to look at it, really look at it and be honest with yourself, where do all these attributes come from? How do we get to the place where we can change our life? Well, you'd have to change your mental acuity, your relationship to your biology, in some ways, even your biology. You'd have to change so many things about your relationship to your DNA and the heritage you live in, genetic that is. I don't think people are up to it. I don't think they even know how to do it. You would look at a person and say, all right, just, you know, make happen what you want to have happen in this world. And I don't think they are going to do that. I don't think anyone is going to do that, for the simple fact that we have to discover who we are. Now, I'm on tricky ground here with you. There are some things here that I disagree with. People will say, oh, you can be whatever you want to be and you got to know yourself. How are you going to know yourself when yourself is constantly changing and fluctuating and morphing into different states of genetic disposition? I watch my friends and my students all just download into their parents' attributes as they get older. For years, I'm sitting there listening and counseling to how terrible their parents were and what they did. And then I sit there now after 10, 15, 20 years with students, working with them, and they've turned into the very things they were complaining about with their family. So you got to look at it and go, well, wait a minute, what's really happening here? You've turned into your parent. Now look at me and go, yeah, Yeah, I have. That's the more aware student will look at that and go, yeah, I didn't realize that. The others will just deny it or blow it off and just not want to deal with any of it. But there you are. There's the fact of the matter, as it were. Wherever you go, no matter how you search for a better life or try to take a vacation and go see the gremlins here and the mountains there and the trees there, no matter how you do any of that, no matter what you do with any of that, you're going to find no matter where you go, no matter what you do, your basic self is still there, watching, looking, criticizing, analyzing, doing all sorts of things inside you to keep you from the direct experience of whatever you're doing. So when you look at it, wherever you go, there you are. And wherever you are, there you go. You could take it the other way. You could look at your life and say, well, what's the purpose? And whose life am I living? Who is playing with the strings above me? Am I a puppet? What am I? And those are good questions to ask. You know, what have I done in my life? What has been the major culprit of my living that has caused me just to live in the convention and mediocrity of my humanness? Everybody makes the human the most important thing. Oh, to be fully human, you know, that kind of thing. I find that to be really, really laborious and absolutely ridiculous. If you want to live a human life, then, you know, get your club and go out there like a caveman and live your life. But if you want to transcend the human and find out what is beyond this idea of a self, what is beyond this idea of human, and discover maybe something a little more significant in your livingness, then you have something meaningful occurring within your life. And this meaningfulness is not something you can put a price tag on. It's not something you can even talk about. I call this meaningfulness the authentic. And when you become authentic within, when it is more important for thee and me to be authentic, then you don't care, Carol, about the idea of controlling your life. You follow your life. You don't control it. You follow it. You trust in it. It is there to help you and I resolve our karma, to diminish our basic stupidity, and to begin to not analyze and theorize, but to awaken to the meaning and the significance of your spiritual essence, the part of you that is your soul. And that is the most beautiful aspect of any of us. The human is just doing what it does to survive. It is a biological creature, and that's all it does is survive. Now, if you want to go deeper, longer, further, then you have to start looking at your life from another point of view. And that's why you enter into an authentic spiritual practice. You can go into philosophies all you want. There are, I would imagine, hundreds and hundreds of philosophies out there that could appease the mental and emotional condition that a person may have of just living conventionally, living to fit in. People just basically, they don't want anything to disturb whatever it is they're doing and whatever they believe in. So they get some kind of cockamamie idea about philosophy, and they adopt a little here and adopt a little bit. I remember this one person saying to me, you know, that his whole effort in life was to live and let live. You can't do that. You know, if I live and then I let you live the way you want, what happens when the way you want to live stops the way I want to live and vice versa? Now, what do we have we come to? Now we've come to an impasse. Somebody's going to have to yield. Somebody's going to have to give up. We're in a flux here, a real, real challenge in this country, and it's a good one. I'm enjoying it. I'm thinking this is really great. There needs to be a rumble about prejudice, human bias. We need to take a deep, deep look at the way we are, the who we are, the way we are, and stop pretending like this is normal or all right. And I am thrilled to see that people in general are, it's the 60s all over again. I'm loving it. And they're saying things that need to be said. They really are. And I think there are terms that we are prejudiced about that we don't even know we're being prejudiced about. They're so built into our society, you know? There were things, words that we have used, you and I, that we didn't even know about, and they were definitely ugly. And we start looking at it and go, well, I didn't know that was, you know, a biased point of view, et cetera, et cetera. Well, of course not. So wherever you go, there you are, no matter what you think is right or what you think is wrong or what you think is normal or what you think is abnormal, whatever. Wherever you go, you're going to color everything according to the bias of your prejudices. And every one of us has human prejudices. The human is not divine. It is not fully beautiful. It's full of ravenous and wickedness, as even Jesus talked about. So, you know, what are you going to do? You going to change the situation? Or are you going to change the person who is biased about the situation? How the person looks at it? I say, change the way we look at things. Don't try to change the things in this society. Change the way we look at them. Start to understand them in the light of the soul, of the heart, the authentic heart. And then you will change the things in society that need to be changed. And it can be very, very beautiful. It could be one of the most, this could be the one of the most lovely times in the history of our world. This could be it. And I am certainly hoping it is. Carol, hope that helped you. Hope I answered your question. Don't bring your bias to anything. Just observe, watch. See things as they are. See things as they play out. Just watch. Much will happen. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Terrence. He does not tell me where he lives. Can I make my life the way I envision it? I practice this every day, trying to envision a better life. Do you think this works, Terrence? Terrence, I think it's always good to envision, you know, something in your life that you would like to manifest or to cultivate inside of you. But if it turns into an obsession and a desire of an obsession, then it turns into something ugly. We all have our own inner evolution to face and environment, those two things. And my environment, my inner environment, is one that is deeply important. Children are not taught about their inner environment, which is why they're so confused and befuddled. They don't know how to manifest. They don't know how to work on something and to sustain effort in it in times where it looks like it's not going to happen. How to envision within themselves the love, the life, the goodness that could be here in their life, wherever they go. But it's very hard for them to see that. That's a very difficult thing because they're so busy trying to get what they want, they miss what they have within themselves. So it is, yes, practicing the change of inner environment. What would that look like? That would look like meditating and allowing that heavenly feeling of kindness, compassion, just to overwhelm you. This goes beyond emotional gratification. It is to put your friends and your enemies in that mix and place them lovingly in the heart of your being and just let them sit there in that love, that great love that lives within you. It's not my love. It's not your love. It's the great love, the big L. Just place everything in that love and envision it inside yourself. Hold it there. Just let it percolate. Don't manipulate it and be making stories up of happy ever after and endings and things you think you want to have happen in your world. Don't do that. That takes it way too far into obsession compulsion. But lovingly place everyone in the heart of love with you. And just let them sit there. And don't expect to open your eyes and see a change. It may or may not happen. Typically, it won't. But that doesn't mean the merit of what you've done is for naught. It means simply that they couldn't get the message or refuse the message. And what we are doing anyway in that little exercise is not trying to change other people. It's trying to obviously upgrade, upload, and change ourselves, to transform ourselves. We're not here to change other people to suit our desires. We're here to place them lovingly in the heart of love itself and let them have their way with that. Thy will be done. I'm changing me, though. When you send out a loving kindness to people, you're not helping them. Chances are they're not going to feel it for the simple fact of who they are. But you are changing yourself. You are changing the way you live within yourself. You are changing the way you operate from within yourself. You're changing the ebb and flow of the way you live from within you. That is a very valuable and kind thing to do. Every morning, Terrence, when I get up in the morning and stretch and do my little things that I need to do, I sit down in meditation and I have people, a list of people that I place lovingly in the hands of love. And I envision them being there. These are people who need healing. These are people who need help. These are people who are confused. Do they change? Do they feel this energy? No. Do their lives change? Not really. No. I change. I start looking at everyone and everything very differently. And now instead of for and against, people who I'm for and people I'm against, I don't have any for and against. So through this modality that I go through meditatively, I change. Now, sometimes someone in the realm can feel a little nudge of love in them. And normally what they do when they feel that little nudge of love is they ignore it. But still, certain people will say to me, were you meditating at such and such an hour? I usually meditate around 2:00 in the morning. And yeah, I was. And they'll feel that little nudge. But will it change them? Will they start meditating at 2:00 in the morning? Will they start putting love into everything they do? No. No, not at all. So, you know, it's important for us to envision love in us. And the way we do it is by realizing there's a great pool of love that lives deep within our soul. And to go and sit in that soul and allow it to do the work for me. And all I do is stay out of the way. I just remove the Gregory from the whole equation, and you would remove the Terrence, and bingo, you've got something really quite beautiful. So there you are, Terrence. It's an act of love every morning for me to send to these people the envisionment, as it were, of love. And I hope, Terrence, that helped you and served you well. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Harold in San Diego. What do we carry around with us all the time that undermines what we want, Harold? Well, Harold, you answered your own question. The thing that undermines you is what you want. And whenever I try to get what I want, I miss what I need. And a lot of times what I need is far different than what I want. So I have to start looking at my life from a different perspective, a different point of view. Do you understand? I hope you do. Give up what you want. Live quietly. Live silently. If you live in silence and quietly, it will become obvious to you what you need. The need is not something biological. The need is not something psychological. The need is something deeply spiritual. You will find out it is love and only love and has always been love. So you will start to look at things not from the premise of getting something in the world that you love or want. You will find that you have everything you need already in that realm. And that everything in the realm of the physical world is setting you up for the inner world. The world of love. The world of kindness. The world of compassion and forgiveness. You have to be the living embodiment of your soul. So, what do we carry around with us? Most time we carry around with us a high sense of desire and negativity. Greed is the word I would use. And my needs, if they are left too long in Gregory and accentuated by his fanaticism, his emotionality, will turn into a real problem for his life. I don't allow myself to go far with that. I recognize there are certain needs that I have that are biological, and they have to be met, but I don't meet them with a sense of fear or craziness. I don't get fanatical about it. They are there, and I work upon those needs with the most loving hand I can possibly usher into my life. I let love live me. This, not my will, but thy will be done, is one of the most powerful statements Jesus ever made. And I feel that it is truly one of the most interesting of all statements, to truly let go of everything that I desire for the sake of a love that is greater than my desires themselves. And to be able to live in that kind of compassion, that kind of caring, that kind of livingness, and it is truly important to do. How few of us ever do this. We're so busy being what we want or trying to get what we want, we miss everything that we are and everything that we have. We betray ourselves. So, Harold, don't betray yourself. Don't be trying to get more than what is. Live in the compassion of a loving heart. Forgive quickly. Sustain a practice with all of your heart and soul. Meditate and want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said. All these things will change the way you live your life. And who knows what will happen after that. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's the week. I got to get out of here. I'm losing time. Have a wonderful weekend. I will see you next week here on Aspire. And if you're interested, On Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock, we have a Zoom gathering where I talk about different things, spiritual things. Go take a look on the website at aspire.org. The subjects are there for the week. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me again, eh? Namaste.